love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, dish and medicine, blah, blah, blah.
And finally, we're alone to play accordion.
Yeah.
Countdown by ourselves.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to work with engineer Chris at the helm.
What are you talking about?
Well, engineer Michelle was the one who loaded up the Ranchero music.
Yeah, but he originated this whole game, didn't he?
I'm not sure.
He wasn't here for it?
I miss Michelle already.
No,
I wasn't here. I told Drew, Michelle's the only one I've ever met who liked this show, who's actually worked on this show.
Right, she's the only one.
I've never seen anyone smile at anything I've ever said in the 9 years I've been here.
She laughs.
She actually laughs.
That's what's shocking. I'm just saying, I was shocked to see that.
I'm saying even smile.
That almost sent her out to the hospital.
You guys are such dicks, really.
Yeah.
Brian laughed all the time. He still does laugh in here. And I actually laughed for the first year and a half.
Yeah.
And then the laughter stopped.
No, Anderson's a huge fan. I mean, Lauren Ann.
You can laugh for me occasionally.
No, listen, nothing against you guys. I mean, obviously, you're more evolved or something. It's one of those personal preference things. And we've just been unlucky for the time that I've been here. I've never actually worked with anyone who liked this show.
Yeah.
Or at least as far
could
as
express
I can tell.
Or could express
never
it.
Saw it, yeah. But Michelle, it's all smiling and laughing.
Maybe she's the one that actually hates the show.
Ooh, overcompensation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, in that case, Lauren loves it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where are we?
Anything to talk about?
Yeah, I got stuff. But
brought you a bunch of tapes in?
No. We got things.
All right.
We'll get to them.
Did you get drunk this weekend?
Let's take some calls. Did I?
Yeah.
A couple,
How'd I know that?
Well, how'd you know it? It was Friday and it was Saturday. Okay. That's how you knew it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I did my thing. Yeah. I had my red wine.
Your medicine?
Ate a little Korean barbecue last night. Oh, my God. Can you eat in those places? You ever go to a Korean barbecue place?
Yeah.
They fire up the hibachi right in your lap.
Yeah.
The table just has a nonstop flame going, and the woman just keeps dumping stuff in it. And it's always tough when you're dealing, Los Angeles is one big language barrier, so you never quite know where you're at, So it's like you and two other guys, and you're like, okay, we got the chicken, and we got the pork, and we got the beef. Is that enough? This is good. Do you think we should get more? Okay, you want more?
It's very confusing. The menu's very, it's complex.
It's all over the place.
These vegetables, this and that.
It's just the three of us. So is that a good? Because, where we're hungry. You want more? We don't need more, but should we get some more? You want shrimp? Yeah.
We'll get some shrimp.
Is that enough? It's good. You want more? No, I don't know. All right, how much? Backed up a flatbed truck and just covered us in sautéed meats and vegetables. And here's the thing about the Korean barbecue. You can't stop eating it because it's done incrementally.
It's in stages. By the time you know you're full, you've had 600 pounds of meat.
You've eaten 3.5 cows.
Right.
Yeah, but you've done it, one cocktail weenie at a time.
Right.
It's just, here's a little bit. Oh, that's done. You reach over and eat that. And then you're waiting for them to cook up the next thing. You're just sort of sitting there.
You're cooking it yourself, right?
A little eat. She's dumping it in. You're monkeying with it. It's unclear whether you can monkey with it or not, but eventually you're on your own.
And the vegetable's primarily kimchi.
The vegetable's just a little cabbage been soaked in cat urine. So that's off. And then the vegetables come last, by the way, which is like, let's see, I've eaten a sheep, two pigs, a cow, and part of a dinosaur. Yeah. I got no room for this tomato here. You understand? By the way, I'm only eating stuff that was alive and that made a noise and took a dump. So, cabbage, mushroom, no. Done it. Just ate and ate and ate and ate and never stopped. Beer just keeps coming. Food just keeps coming.
It's good.
Yeah, recommend it.
And that's how you got wasted?
No, that's just
afterwards you got wasted.
Yeah. But never stopped eating. Just realize you essentially, if you took everything that you ate over the course of the 2 hours of the nonstop grazing, you would fill four full plates.
Just thinking about the young adult male and how tough we are on the overweight people. Mm-hmm. Think about the average overweight under, you know, a young male will not only eat a giant meal, will drink about 3,000 calories worth of beer.
Yeah.
And then go on about their next day without thinking about it. And then not gain a pound, not gain an ounce.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Oh, no, they'll drink 8 Cokes a day and then have a 6-pack when they get home. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, fatty. Yeah. Hey, lazy.
Lazy.
Hey, sloppy. Have some pride. Yeah. All right. You ready to run?
There you go.
Nick?
Yep.
You know, it's funny. We're meeting at one Korean barbecue place, except for it burnt down. Which, by the way, you know, there's a bonfire going. It's essentially a, you know, 55-gallon drum that's been lit on fire. It's like a Rocky movie. Yeah. You know, just a bunch of bums standing around it cooking kimchi on it. I can't imagine there's not a fire every 15 minutes
right.
in one of those
oils
places.
And things.
Yeah, just dumping yeah. stuff, flames licking up, people drunk.
It's every table's got a Bunsen burner, basically.
Every table's got a stove on it, yeah. It's sort of it's Benihana minus the supervision.
Right, that's right.
You're on your own.
Right.
It's like giving kids the keys to a tank or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah. The other thing I love about Koreatown, once you turn on the Western, you know you're in it. Because you ain't moving. Uh-oh. You know, they make fun of the Japanese and the Chinese. The Koreans give them a run or not give them a run for the money in the driving department. They ain't good at guarding liquor stores, not great at the driving. Yes?
Here we go.
Nick?
Hey.
Hey. No, Drew came up with a great invention over Kimmel.
Yeah, yeah.
You know they put those plastic owls on top of the roof sometimes trying to keep the pigeons away?
Right.
If I had a liquor store, plastic Korean. Just up there with the gun. You know what I'm saying?
We have to actually plaster. Could it be blow up?
I think the plastic. I'd make the same thing they make the owls out of.
Oh, no, you use those just, reality people. Those like the guys that make the crazy chicks, the crazy girls that are made out of latex.
No.
The fake
Drew,
women.
You're missing the point. It has to be the exact same thing as the owl, except for it's the Korean guy.
Got it.
With the hunting rifle. He's just up
hollow,
there.
Hollow, made out of a plastic
same
shell.
Same thing. Yeah. Exactly. Crudely painted. Mm-hmm. Just up there. Parapet comes up to his waist. Perfect. He's just there.
Perfect.
Now, look, I'm not, you know, that's not a slight against those people. Those are proud people. I just say you'd probably make some money putting those on your roof. Work at your house, too. Think about it.
Nice.
People coming up looking for trouble? Uh-uh. They found the wrong place. Nick?
How you doing?
What's happening?
Long time listener, first time caller.
Great. You're 22. What's up?
I'm having a little trouble giving my girlfriend the orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Problem being that the particular position that she favors happens to be like the most uncomfortable for me. She'll sit on top and instead of going up and down, she'll do like a back and forth grinding motion.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tend to lose my erection during that, so.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's just because it's uncomfortable?
Yeah, it's extremely uncomfortable.
Does she know that she's maybe doing a little too much or too far with it, or?
Yeah, and the problem is once I bring it up, the next time we go for it, she starts getting really self-conscious of it. And then, I mean, she has a lot of trouble getting orgasms anyway.
Yeah. All right, but she can have one that way with the clitoral stimulation, doing the old
well, God bless her for having figured that out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a little bit ahead of the game, though, but I understand that that position can be sort of rough on the honker, but how about a sort of in between that and up and down?
Well, yeah, no, I've tried that too. It's really tough. We haven't been able to do that. She's really adamant about the back and forth, unfortunately.
Hmm. Drew.
I wonder if there's something else.
Along with my plastic Korean to put on top of the liquor stores, how about they defended their liquor stores very tenaciously during the riots some years back.
I recall.
Well, people around the country don't know that. How about some sort of belt, like a we call it the money belt, but it's got a little dorsal fin on. It's just a little hump.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
All it is one of those things you stick on the phone. You know those foam rubber pads you'd stick on the phone back in the day just sort of so you could tuck it under your shoulder? Something like that shaped. It's just right on,
there. It needs to be on the pubic bone, basically.
Yeah, you slide it down a little bit, but you
get
the picture.
And then strap it in.
You
probably strap it on. Actually have to be like a strap on, quite literally. I have to go around the legs, probably, and
So it wouldn't pull up.
It wouldn't move, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm thinking, actually. They need to kind of organize.
The dolphin. The dorsal dong. Yeah.
They need to organize something, the two of them. They need to kind of really figure this out.
Yeah. Nick, why don't you try my idea?
What's he going to use?
Well, like any pioneer, you got to invent. I would start with a strap-on. What if you got a strap-on and you just ground off the honker part?
Or you left it flat, maybe.
And just leave the little nub right there?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, I mean, nothing sharp, but
You know what? You know these crazy stores?
They
got to have something there.
Oh, yeah.
They got to have something.
No, if you can think of it, they got it. Yeah. I took a tour of one of those places once where they manufacture that stuff. Crazy. Poor Guatemalan women just sewing pubes onto nads all day.
Nice.
And no context at all for their work. You know, 55-year-old women. Just like as if they're working in a box shop, you know, or just in any conveyor belt where they're like, you know, putting Barbie heads on.
I can just see Lucy and Ethel now.
It's
a new I Love Lucy episode.
Down the conveyor belt comes the dong, and it's got the cyber flesh on it, and you're sewing the pubes on. That's your gig. And then it's off into the finished hopper. Yeah. You get a 10-minute break every 2 hours and a half hour.
How much of that stuff sells that there needs to be factories of manufacturing? And I'm sure there's not just one.
No, it's not just one. And it ain't, you know, 2,000 square feet. It's 30,000 square feet, maybe 50.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it is big. It is huge. I don't know. I'm gonna go ahead and
stuff
say,
like that
overseas market.
Stuff like that makes my head explode. Were there things that you think
how many people have a novel? Well, actually, I have one.
Yeah, but Ron Jeremy gave you that.
That's true. It was a gift.
No, you would not.
But the point is how many people go out
have
and
need.
Buy
Goodbye,
a dong? And the thing is like half of them are probably bought for novelty, for gags, for bachelor parties and things like that. On the other hand, they're $60-$70. So it's starting to get a little expensive now when you're just talking about for a gag.
Whoa.
All right, buddy. Don't pretend like you don't know. Ricky?
Yes?
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
I just was calling because I had a question.
Mm. All right.
I was just wondering how I would be able to have a G-spot orgasm, because it seems like I'm only being able to have them clitoral.
No, some women, do you have that during intercourse? You have a clitoral orgasm?
Yes, or other ways too, but
you have it during intercourse?
Yes, I could, I'm on top.
Okay, you're way ahead.
And we would be insulting our female listeners who never had an orgasm, or any woman that's ever been with me, if we took time for your question. It's a slap in the face.
But the fact is that this whole notion of the G-spot is way overstated. Yes, there's a slightly different feeling from the inside, and yes, sometimes you get it just right, you can stimulate that. But for the most part,
that's enough.
Some women have those kinds of orgasms, and some just don't.
But it's really as if we were addressing an auditorium of Special Olympians, and some able-bodied guy stood up and said that, you know, he's doing the 100 meters, and he's doing a 9.994, and he wants to shave a couple tenths off.
Like,
and we spent 10 minutes with him. Yeah, way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
23, having the
orgasm with intercourse? Please.
Retire.
Yeah.
Hang your vagina up. Send it down to Cooperstown.
It's as good as it gets. Don't. And by the way, again, it's the crazy crap in our culture that makes somebody like that think, well, I don't have it right. I got to get it better.
Right.
Not only do you have it better than the vast majority, I'm sure it's fine.
It is.
It's fine.
It is. Well, it was
it's great,
fine.
I'm sure.
It was fine until you started looking for another mountain to climb.
Or reading about it somewhere. It's something elusive that was supposed to be something you could have. That's not for you.
I'm saying. Why constantly put that challenge out there, which is something better for me on the other side?
Yes.
This is fine. You're having the big O. Fantabulous. Stephanie?
Hello.
Oh, hey. 22. What's up, baby doll?
I'm seeking a little advice.
All right. Go ahead.
So I'm 22 and I'm a virgin. And I'm single, and I'm looking, not necessarily looking for anything that's long-term or short-term or anything. I'm just looking, you know, to date. I'm young. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for anything serious or anything. But
Why aren't you looking for... Yeah? Why well, not I'm something just, serious? You're 22.
I'm not out there for strictly a long-term relationship. I'm just out there to meet people, you know?
What is your question? You haven't asked us a question yet. How can we help?
So, are guys turned off by virgins?
No.
They're freaked out.
No, they're not.
There's like two possible ways a guy can react. Well, three. But two, not so positive. One is, oh my God, I don't want the responsibility for being the first because she's going to want to have lots of long term with me. A. B, I want to have sex. She's not into that. Narrow it down a little bit.
That's the more applicable one.
No, I understand. But there are two. And then C would be guys are just fine with it. But
hold on. That's not three guys that aren't into it. That's two.
Two guys aren't into it. I said there are three possible reactions.
Oh, okay. So here's my take. I think most guys would find this sort of refreshing in this day and age. They'd also find it a bit of a challenge. And most guys, especially if you didn't hit them over the head with, I'm waiting until I get married.
Right.
If you said, they said, why are you a virgin? You said, just haven't met the right guy. That's a challenge.
Yeah.
Is that why you're a virgin?
That's why I'm a virgin, because everybody sucks. I mean, the guys that I've dated, it's just never been something.
The gauntlet is down at that point.
Yeah.
Every guy goes, no, you don't understand.
Well, so is there anything wrong with you physically?
No, there's nothing wrong with me physically. I'm attractive, I'm educated, I'm smart, I think I'm a good person.
Are you going to professional training or something?
Hold on. I think I'm a good person doesn't help us at all.
No.
Well, I mean, I'm normal. I really am. I'm normal. Mm. I have good morals, good values.
We don't care about that stuff. How tall are you?
But I mean, how tall? Ugh, are you going to do this to me?
Yes. How tall?
I'm 5'3", 125.
5'3", 125. I got to do a little radio math. A little bit of radio math. Let's see. 5'3", 125. What's 2 times 2, Drew?
4.
4. And then 1 times 4?
4.
4. And then 4 plus 1?
5. There we go.
Huh?
5.
Okay. And 2 times 4 again is 5?
2 times 4 is 8.
8. Okay. And 8 and 5 is 13. Okay, let's get back. Where is she?
4.
Stephanie, a 4?
Yes.
2 times 8 is
4?
She's on 4.
She's on line 4.
Okay, but 2 times?
8 is 16.
16, okay. I got 5'1 and 31 30 seconds, so almost 5'2 and 133.
No, not at all. People think I'm 5'4. I'm underestimating the height. I'm short.
All right.
But I'm 5'3".
All right. Well, I like I said, you're just a 32nd away from being 5'2".
Okay.
All right. have you ever had an orgasm with a guy?
No.
By yourself?
No.
Oh, no.
Never had one.
Not by yourself either.
Mm-mm.
Why not?
Do you have night experiences?
I've never done it. I've never done it.
Never done what?
I've never masturbated.
And do you have night dreams, sexual dreams at night?
Yeah, I have.
And during those, do you have orgasm?
Do you think? No.
No. Okay.
All right. So and this isn't a religious thing.
It's not a religious thing. I mean, I am religious, but it's not based on a religious thing. It's just
okay.
It's fine.
Well, look. Okay, here's the thing. You're attractive. You're educated. You're going places. You have no baggage.
You'll find a guy.
Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Do not let it factor into your thinking. Let the guys react how they react.
Yeah, look, half of this stuff is sort of right place, right time. I mean, not half of it, but a quarter. Here's my point. 80% of society sort of makes their own luck and guides their own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
10% just happen to be places where they just luck out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's that guy who has a friend who has like has a sister who has a bunch of hottie friends and they keep coming over for slumber parties. Where, you know, dude, I'm going to kill that guy. There's that guy. And then there's the bottom of the spectrum. That's me, who goes and cleans carpets with a bunch of illegals and felons and gets no poontang at all. And then there's sort of everyone else in between. Once in a while, there's a 22-year-old that's nothing wrong, just hasn't met the right guy, hasn't been in the right place. Yeah. A little unlucky. Your luck will change. Mm. Don't get hung up on it. Mm. Yeah?
Yeah, great.
All right. Because, you know, especially with guys, but I imagine with girls, too, sort of all things equal, it's all about where you are and who you're being exposed to and what's going on.
Except guys have got some fuel behind it. They're roaming. They're looking all the time. Women may not have that so much.
Yeah.
Some women.
Yeah. You're talking about dreams?
Yeah.
What a dream I had Friday night was, I have the world's worst dreams, by the way. My dreams are made so that I wake up and have my legs and feel excited. Because the thing about good dreams is you're disappointed.
Right, right.
I mean, you think the alarm goes off and it's like, huh, what? Oh, I'm not married Wow. And, I thought I could fly. Nothing? I'm going to try jumping off the bed, see what I get. Zero? Nothing.
Nothing.
Oh, well, I'm not in the World Series. No. You know, these kind of grandiose dreams,
right.
It's horribly disappointing. I had a dream, and I don't even have dreams that are bad dreams. They're just boring dreams.
Yeah.
Here's my dream. Somehow, I'm on vacation, and somehow, rent jet skis on, like, two separate occasions. And the first occasion, it gets rented, the deposit gets put down, but they never get used, and they didn't work right, and the place, like, collected them, and they actually painted them and serviced them and stuff, and then, anyway, point
Sounds
is...
Like your life.
It's your childhood.
It
is my life.
Things are being dangled in front of you, and you're being deprived.
It's time to settle up, and I owe the guy, like, $7,200 for the rental of these jet skis, but I never started one up, and I never even climbed on one, and one of them got painted, like overhauled, and I'm yelling at the guy, I'm supposed to pay you to paint your jet ski? Jet ski, by the way, I don't even think about jet skis. Nobody thinks about personal watercraft less than I do. I have no idea.
You've never been on one in your whole life, probably.
Twice in 40 years I've been on a personal watercraft. I don't even know why I was thinking that. It was like $7,200. The guy had like my credit card, and he was a shyster, and he was like, well, that's just the way it is, and what are you going to do? And I remember arguing with him, and we got down to like $6,500. I was supposed to feel happy that he was knocking $700 off. Meanwhile, I'd never even put the thing in the water, and it was just one of these technicalities. These are the rules. And he physically painted the thing while I paid for it, and blah, blah, blah. And that was my dream.
You woke up happy, though.
This went on for a long time, and then I woke up and I thought, oh, I didn't have to pay $6,500 for a jet ski rental. Woo! Fantabulous. I'm back to my horrible life, but I'm broken
better.
Even.
Yeah,
broken even. Yeah, it's sort of like instead of a massage, we just held your foot over a Bunsen burner, and now we moved it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
feeling good, right? Feeling good. All right. Because I would argue that moving your foot from over the Bunsen burner feels better than getting the massage.
Relieving ceasing the pain is better than.
Think about it. You should all think about that next time you rent. All right. Well, take ourselves. How about the people that rent furniture?
Yeah.
You ever see those commercials? It's like, hey, rent a dinette set. Really? You're renting a dinette. And then the next commercial comes on is the wake up call. And then the next commercial comes on is the collect call. And I just think to myself, who? And then I realize it's the same person.
Same person?
Rents the dinette set.
Is that the same guy as buying the dildos that are being manufactured?
No.
Different dude. Okay.
Different dude. Although producer Ann, by the way, when I remember a couple of years back when I was screaming going, who? You see these 800 wake-up calls or 900 wake-up calls, like these commercials they run in the middle of the night. It's like, Bob Johnson was going to get a big promotion, but he forgot to wake up. And it's like... So you call this number and they give you a wake-up call, and I think to myself, who doesn't have an alarm clock? And then it's like, well, people travel. Well, are you camping? I mean, you go to a hotel. That's why you go to a hotel. And I remember I was right in the middle of this rant, and producer Ann goes, I've done it a few times. I was like, what? Yeah, I've done it.
Oh, my God.
Well, what do you mean, why? You know, had stuff to do and didn't trust the alarm. Really?
Wow.
So we do know somebody.
Wow. So in case there's an earthquake or a power outage or something?
I don't know. But the commercial's great because Bob Johnson was, it's all over the news. Bob Johnson was supposed to get a big promotion. And by the way, is that how it works? You've been with the company for 22 years. You're about to make partner, but you show up late. Sorry, Bob. Yeah, we're passing you over.
Only excuse was your death.
We're going to take a quick break. Look at that. Look at Engineer Chris.
He's laughing.
Great to have him back, isn't it? Laughing inside. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All righty. She's talking to producer Ann about getting that phone call. She's actually renting a dinette set.
Renting a phone to make calls.
Renting an alarm clock. Yeah. Listen, everyone, please. I haven't given one of my how to live speeches in a while, but please go out and get yourself one of those little digital timers.
Egg timers.
Yeah, they call them egg timers. I call them kitchen timers. And I don't want to confuse people. They're not shaped like an egg. They're not springs.
Just a digital timer.
You don't twist it and have it go tick, 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 tick. Yeah. Just that little thing. Just takes a AAA battery, and you just tick, tick, tick. You do it for 3 hours. Those nights when you can only sleep for 2 hours or 3 hours, you pop the thing. But here's the other thing. Naps. I've said it a million times. People have to nap. Oftentimes they want to nap. But they're always scared they're going to doze off for too long. Right. They're going to wake up.
Or,
it's going to be 2:30 in the morning.
They don't go to sleep because they think about not waking up on time.
Here's my point. People, they got to do something. They come home from a long day of work. They're heading out that night. They want to catch a 25-minute nap. But they don't want to set the alarm because the alarm's set for 7:15 a.m. Right. They're not going to set it for 5:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
So they just lie there and they go, well, I'll just sort of doze with one eye open. And I'll keep opening. You know what it's like, Drew. You always keep popping up, looking.
Yeah.
Get the little egg timer. Set that digital thing. Tick, 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 tick. Set it for 20, 25 minutes, an hour. Boom. Go out with impunity.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Good idea.
$10. Put it on your nightstand. Travel with it. Fantastic. Yeah.
I agree.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. Know what I did tonight, Drew?
No.
Besides utilizing my egg timer?
What?
I got tired. I started realizing that most things in my house, like radios and remote controls and things like that, you had to stare at them for 20 minutes to find the power button.
Yes.
Like Jimmy got me this stereo thing that sounds real good and everything, but the power button is the same goddamn button as the other 36 buttons that are on the face of the thing, and they're all black.
Right.
And you have to stare at it for 20 minutes. Got some of the old lady's nail polish, ruby red.
Mm.
Shook it up. I walked around the house. I started putting red on every single power, every remote, the TiVo, ever since those Tards TiVo.
Yeah.
And I love TiVo, but I got to call a Tard. They moved the stupid power button, which used to be on the upper left. They moved it 28 buttons down and 36 to the left. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
The old TiVo had the power in the upper left.
It used to be an hourglass TiVo. Now it's
the power to turn the TV on.
Yes.
Was at the top left of the TiVo thing.
When it was an hourglass thing. But now it's a different shape.
Right. No.
Now it's like a...
It is, instead of the top left, they put the power button. Right. Oh, it's where all power buttons should be. It's 14 down and 4th from the left. Or the right.
Near the fast forward reverse.
And it's
still
the smallest goddamn button that's on the thing, and you have to stare at it for 20 minutes. I'd like to. My dream is to go to these boards and just, hey, TiVo guys, having a meeting? What are you doing? Who thought of this? It was upper left for 5 years, where every goddamn power button is on every goddamn remote, and you moved it down. Past lower than the middle, down to almost the bottom, but still in amongst the cluster of buttons that are almost exactly the same. And so now you can't find it. Fantastic. Oh, great. You put a hummingbird's beak worth of green on it, which doesn't read at all when you're in your den and the lights are anything but on Klieg mode. All right. So walk around, get the thing, put the red on everything. That's sure. What I do.
Nail polish, good for something.
I got to write a book. Drew, you got to do that. No?
No, yeah. That's a good idea.
No, I'm telling you. Do it.
I can see that.
You know what else you need to do? Look at a cell phone.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Piece of Velcro right on the back.
Yeah.
How many times that sleek cell phone come flying out of your sweatpants when you get out of the car,
yeah,
jump out. It's always sliding out, always popping out.
It's going into the gutter.
Going into the gutter. Listen to that, kiddies.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the cell phone right there. All right, you ready to rock here, girl?
Go.
Speak to Lola. Lola?
Hi.
You're 23?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you guys about a sex toy just like the one you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The shark?
Having the problems. Yeah. There's these things that the guy can strap on, and they're right where the woman needs it, you know, where her clit is, and they mm-hmm. vibrate.
Oh, they vibrate. Mm.
Yeah, and they come in little animal shapes, and there's even a dolphin-shaped one.
Oh, by the way, I don't like when they start doing that. Like, hey, it's Toucan Sam. Yeah, let's put him up my ass.
Oh, my God.
I like that cereal. I don't feel comfortable with this.
But they're like,
I like
it's
dolphins.
It's cute. They're little animals. Don't you think?
No.
No?
No. Just it should be the shape of, like, a streamlined Bonneville racer. It's
right.
Just like, it's all function. All form.
Right.
And all function. You know, I don't want anything slick. I don't want any dress up. I don't want any pinstriping. I don't want any cute names.
Well, ask Lola how she responds to the little animals. What are they, good, bad? Lola.
The animals were a little bit creepy.
Creepy.
Thank
okay.
you. Thank
okay.
you.
There we go.
But they also come in other shapes.
Right.
So, you know,
Hitler, Satan.
Such as what?
Your parents. Yeah.
What are the shapes?
Just like random shapes, like ovals, and there's even yeah. kind of like triangle-shaped ones that could look kind of dorsal finish.
So you would strap them on, and how mm-hmm. far would they protrude from, like, your belly, or my belly, if I was wearing it with you?
Just like a little nub.
Little so nub.
Hurt the girl, but mm-hmm. they definitely work.
And
the
is
same
it
problem? So
is it? See, I'm picturing this thing needs to be not too high. Maybe stick out about half an inch, maybe 3/4 inch, but a little bit longer. You know, have a little landing strip on it.
A little glide.
Yeah?
Yeah, kind of. It's actually like a ring that goes around the guy's penis. I don't know if I can say that on air.
That's interesting. So it's just something
right
that slips
above,
down with
so
it, something on top.
Yeah. It's right where it's supposed to. You can go to any sex shop and get these.
Yeah. Hold on. That's not bad. It's not what I'm talking about exactly.
Right.
The ring. That's something different. Not bad. But she just said like a strap on. I don't think she meant like a traditional strap on. Lola, are you talking about two different things?
No. It's
no,
not
well,
like
you
a
said
penis.
You
put
said
it on the guy's penis.
Yeah, yeah, we get that. But there's
animal. Hold on a second. Let me
not
write
the girl's
that down.
Penis?
Put it on the guy's penis.
Guy's penis.
Oh,
yeah.
Touche.
It's shocking.
Okay. So the guy. Okay.
Yeah, guy's penis.
All right. And then what about
don't
the guy?
Mistake it for
what about the guy's vagina? How's he gonna rub that on his penis?
You got me there.
Okay, so you said a strap on, but this isn't really a strap-on. It's more of a ring,
clip-on.
Right?
Yeah, but they also come in other ones where the girl can strap it on, and it's like a little harness. She puts it around her legs. But those mm-hmm. ones don't work as good because it can't really hold it there. It doesn't have mm-hmm. the same amount of pressure.
Well, but Adam's talking about something the guy straps on.
Yeah, that's the ring one that goes around the penis.
No.
Okay. That's not a strap-on.
Guy, Adam is inventing something that the guy straps on, not okay. rings.
Well, you understand? I'm wearing a wedding ring right now. I don't consider it strapped on. Did you understand? True. Your glasses
strapped on.
Strapped on.
Yeah.
All right.
I only think of it that way. How dare you?
All right. All right, Lola. Thanks for the help, baby doll.
No problem.
All right. Strap on. Strap on.
Well, the point is that she had the problem and she solved it with the little ring.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. I think there's a sort of a weird. I don't know. It's a stigma. It's like training wheels on a bike if you got to go to the vibrator.
People feel like that.
Yeah, it's
kind of
like, you're not, a real man could finish a job. But
who thinks that, the male or the female? Or both of them?
Maybe both. I think chicks are a little more freaked out by it than
guys. Are like,
yeah, I think guys are that. Most guys are that way. Some guys can be a little.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Anything that saves guys work, generally they're.
Yeah.
About it.
Yeah, because we're pragmatist.
And lazy.
Who else? Are we going to... Huh? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nathan?
Yeah.
18?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I was just kind of curious. Is it normal for a girl to like the vibrator and you at the same time?
Yeah.
That's what we were just talking about.
Could be, sure.
Yeah. Or that Lola liked that, our last caller.
Yeah, it just, I find it kind of weird because, like, sometimes it's like I don't think she actually likes me for me, you know? And, like, I've been with her.
So this is the guy, Adam, you were referring to that gets weirded out by this stuff.
Yeah.
This is that guy.
But this is bogus.
No, I'm being serious. I mean, I've been with my girl for 3 years, and I love her to death, you know. I plan on marrying her and everything, but it just kind of, you know, it kind of freaks me out sometimes.
Why?
It just, I don't know, it's like she wants me to be bigger, you know, instead of being, you know, I'm like average size, like 6 and a half, you know.
Did she say she wants you to be bigger?
That? Those were her words?
Yeah. I don't know, like.
Yeah, but she, no, let me put it in context. She's saying, like, be a big man and see my chick movie with me.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know what I'm basically.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it just, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if there's something.
Hold on.
Either bogus.
It's smelling, yeah. It's smelling bogus or just sort of dumb and disjointed.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
Going, I know that going back is going to be a mistake.
All right. Well, here we go. Nathan? Okay, been with her 3 years, plan on marrying her. All right, couple of things. You're 18.
Right.
You're from Fresno.
Yes.
Sorry.
I really didn't know what a horrible place Fresno was until recently, by the way, but my condolences for living
nice
in Fresno.
Bass lakes up there, some nice yeah. areas up there.
Here's the thing. You shouldn't be even considering anything that starts with an M, much less marriage at this point, okay?
All right.
Because you got a lot of feelings in you. Let me explain something. All right, hold on. This is what I want to tell everybody. As a guy, here's what you're like. Here's what you're like. You're like, okay, take a skillet, and you're frying sausage in it all morning long. Yeah. Big iron skillet,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're done, and you hit it with water. Put it in the sink.
Yeah.
You touch it, you still burn your finger.
Sure.
That's what guys are when they're 19. It's like, they think they're going to be hit with water. Like, oh, get no, married. Cool get
down.
Married.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
cool right down.
Yeah.
Wait a few minutes, put your hand on it, you still burn it.
Yes.
It's still hot.
Yes.
It's still hot.
No, they need to actually cool down.
Still hot. You're not cooled down until you're 32.
You get 28. It's Fresno.
Okay. 14.
Okay.
28. You still, but then, like, by the time I got married, I was like a skillet been left out, like I'd been lost camping up in the mountains.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it was just
rusted and old.
Hand was sticked to it, was frozen, yeah. Bear pissed on it.
Right.
It was a disaster, all yeah. rusted out. Yeah, that's the whole thing. You think you're going to hit yourself the water? No, you're still hot the second you move the water.
And you also think this is the only girl ever, and this is the one. Also, the 18.
Too much energy at 18. You're thinking about energy, stuff like a vibrator. Yeah. But believe me, all that goes away as you get older.
And
that's why you get married when you're older.
It's rare to find a woman who says something like, you're not big enough, unless you are sort of abnormally small.
Right. If you're average, she's saying that. You've been with her since she was 15, by the way. I don't know what she's seen. You're hearing that.
Yeah.
All right. That means your skillet's still too hot.
Yeah.
Thanks, Drew. Drew still got a George Foreman cooker in his pants, by the way. He's got that grill right in his pants. Passionate man.
You're not the first to refer to it that way. Interestingly, Adam.
Passionate man. Hey, Engineer Chris, maybe get some of Drew's drippings during the break, yeah?
Nice.
Big fan. Huge fan.
Let's play accordion countdown.
Huge fan.
Come on.
Huge fan. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Love line. Yeah. Woo! Get it on. Gotta get it on. Freak out. Get it on. Get it on and freak out, everybody. Woo! Yeah.
God, I love it when you talk like that.
You gotta freak out and get it on. Ready to rock, Drew?
Yeah, let's go to calls.
What do you say, buddy?
Let's go to calls.
Let's take some calls.
Let's
take some calls.
Calls.
Going to calls.
Let's go to calls.
And take some calls.
Here we go.
All righty. Yeah. Derek?
Yeah.
19.
That's right.
Freak out, get it on.
Go to calls. What's up, Derek?
My question is, I'm wondering about my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I have been homosexual most of my life, and I'm starting to wonder if I'm supposed to be liking girls.
You're gay. You're wondering if you're supposed to be liking girls.
Yeah, you've been gay your whole life.
You're gay.
True, please.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. I like these older guys, like late 30s, early 40s.
Hey, hang on one second, Derek, will you? He opened his mouth and I thought bogus. He opened his mouth and I thought bogus. But let's go keep going with them. I just wanted to register that complaint. So.
Well, Derek? I like these older guys. And none of them really seem to like me, you know. They don't want some 19-year-old kid. You know, they want kids, they want guys their age.
Yeah, what self-respecting older male would like a young...
Especially gay guys. They can't stand the youngins. So more virile. Yeah, and as you get older, like... Let me tell you, the gay community works. A rich, affluent, gay, 50-something-year-old male. He wants a nice guy in his 70s, maybe late 60s.
Well, listen, heterosexual, same thing.
Same thing.
It applies to all males.
Yeah,
Derek, so what's the question?
Well, it seems like the only people who want to find love with me are girls my age. And
find love.
Well, I'm looking for love, and I can't seem to find it with the people who I'm attracted to.
He opened his mouth. I knew it was bogus.
Derek, I'm sorry. Bogus, baby.
Opened his mouth. I knew it was bogus. It's so strange. Yeah. He started talking, and I thought, oh, well, no.
Sorry, buddy. You set the bogus off the meter on the bogus bogotometer.
I know it's fake, but it's just not. I'm really confused about this.
Again, all right, let's go with it.
All right.
So as usual, they take in a topic that you can't abandon
they don't want to kill himself.
All my friends are gay, and they all kind of wonder about me. Sometimes they'll say, like, oh, yeah, you're so... Even though I'll deep-throat dildos and whatnot in front of them, they don't...
Yeah, Derek, nice try, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not joking. We do it...
I can tell you're not joking the way you laugh about it.
Yeah, now you got to deep-throat a dildo. You have to. You're going to be gay.
Well, you smoke a lot of pot, too, Derek.
Well.
I guess it takes a stone mind to dig up something like this.
All right, listen, Derek, here's my only point. When we bust you people on your bogus calls, you have to come clean. That's how the game's played.
I knew the second you... please.
It's like Marco Polo.
Yeah.
You have to keep your eyes closed.
It's no game otherwise.
If you don't rely on the one person who's running around the, you know, swimming around the pool to keep their eyes closed, it's no good.
Yes? It's no game. It's not a game.
It's not a game.
Yeah, it's cheating. It's just, it's not even, it's nothing.
Well, the game is the person can't see you. And if the person can see you, that's
no
not
game.
A game.
Right.
Right. And then to the person who's, I know we're going off on a tangent here, but to the person who is it, who's opening their eyes, what's that say about you? That you can find people in the pool with your eyes open?
Right.
Well, that's quite a skill.
Right.
You'll parlay that into millions.
Right.
Fantabulous. All right, let's talk to Betty, who's 22. Betty?
Yeah?
Yeah, what's going on?
I have a serious question for the doctor.
Yeah, what's up?
I have a prolapsed bladder.
You have a prolapsed bladder or a cystocele?
Well, no, I had it fixed once.
You've had a couple of babies, right?
Yeah, I had a couple of babies, and everything inside kind of fell, and they gave me a hysterectomy, and they pulled my bladder.
Well, people don't appreciate normal problems of females. Hmm. And one of the things that happens is, first of all, you tear the rectum and the perineum very often when they're in first labor.
Yeah.
Secondly, the whole area stretches out, and so the rectum and the bladder can fall through the vagina.
No!
Yeah. Yes, it was bad. Everything happened. They fixed everything.
And the uterus can fall down into the vagina, too.
That's what happened. They took the uterus, too.
Yeah, it's good times. It's good times. Betty, God bless.
Really, yeah, and hold on a second. They really, we need the dads in there? We need a dad
during the delivery?
6-foot sub comes out of your wife's cooch, and you're like, it's a good thing that I'm here. Fantastic. I'll be humping that when?
When the rectum and the bladder of the vagina falls.
See what
day
is it? Monday to 2015. Please, we really need to be there to witness the carnage. Do we need to do that? Is that what we need to see? Hey, I'm getting some prostate surgery, sweetie.
Well, the great news is,
hold my hand.
We'll video the whole thing.
Get the video.
So you can show it back to your kids later.
They
can
see my rectum.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah,
there you go. Yeah. Fantastic. Looks It's like a, you know, hippo giving birth at the zoo. It's fantastic. Betty?
So, Betty, you had the cysta seal repaired, right?
Right.
And what do they want to do? They want to do a bladder sling on you or something?
They fixed it already, but it fell again. My question is, I had sex the other night, and it started bleeding. So I don't have periods anymore, and I want to know what's up with that, and should I go back to the doctor?
You got. How long ago was your hysterectomy?
Almost 2 years.
Yeah. Definitely go back. I don't know, you know, the bleeding post-hysterectomy, did they leave any cervix behind?
No, everything's gone but my ovaries.
Don't know where the bleeding would have been from. It's vaginal bleeding?
I guess. I don't know.
You wonder if the cuff got torn or something, the left behind there got stretched or torn. Mm-hmm. If the bladder needs re-repair, it's not at all uncommon for the bladder to need re-repair. So, yes, all right. Get back.
All right. What's up? Is the dad still around?
Actually, I just left him. He was abusive.
Same dad for both kitties?
Yes.
Definitely. All right. Well, that's fantastic.
Well done.
The abusive dad's gone. Good. No more kids. Find a guy who's not abusive, please.
She can't have kids. Uterus is gone.
Good.
Perfect.
Good. Take care. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carrie Elwes is going to be in here on Wednesday. Great actor. Always wanted to meet him. And then I started thinking, maybe he's done this show. Maybe I have met him.
Probably.
Jimmy Eat World is going to be in here on Thursday. They've been in here.
Yeah.
Carrie Elwes. I don't know if I'm...
This is Jimmy Eat World.
Oh, this is Jimmy Eat World. Oh.
They play your song.
That's right. That's right. The Ace Man. Boots, jacket slung over the shoulder, lowering the shades, wearing the smoked shades, hot chicks at the bar chair, slow motion, bouncing in slow motion, tight jeans, shirt tucked in, muscles bulging.
Every girl tan, turns
every
and
girl
looks.
Turns and looks.
And sees the following.
Come on, buddy. You know, I had that dream about renting the jet skis.
Yeah.
Just not on my game, man. Bringing me down, man. Freak out. Freak out. All right, what? Who?
Here
we
go.
Talk to Charlene?
No.
No, we didn't?
New Charlene.
Really?
New call.
We just got out of a woman's vagina. We got to crawl back in?
We're having such a good time there.
No, we weren't.
All right, take the next one.
This, Karen?
Yeah.
All right. Karen?
Yeah.
21?
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
Every time I have sex with my boyfriend, I cry.
Has it always been that way?
No.
When did it start?
Probably a couple months after we started having sex, and we've been dating for about 2 years now.
Do you want to give us any clues here as to what it might be about?
I don't know.
Tears of joy, or are they tears because it's physically difficult?
It's not about it hurting or anything like that. It's kind of weird. The first time it happened, we were just like normal, and then just all of a sudden I started crying.
It's an emotional thing.
Yeah.
Is there anything we should know about you?
Not that I can think of.
So no abuse, no abandonment, no major losses.
No.
You haven't been depressed lately?
No.
Where's your dad?
My parents are divorced, but I see him, you know, a couple times a year.
Why did they divorce?
Why? I don't know. They always fought. They never got along.
With that why question.
They always fought.
Yeah. Fought because there was violence in the home?
No, it wasn't violent. They just
didn't get along.
My mom's kind of controlling.
Mm-hmm. Where did your dad move to?
About an hour away.
Mm-hmm. Why did he only see you three times a year then?
He has a new family now. He's remarried and has a 3-year-old daughter that he adopted.
Adopted because she was the child of the woman he married?
No, they adopted her from China.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. What's her name? She got a kooky name?
No. Well, her middle name is her Chinese name, and I don't know how to pronounce it.
I was like that. That's got to be nice. Hey, Mitchy. Hey, Four Eyes, over here. Yeah, I got something for you.
Don't know how to pronounce it.
All right.
Six.
Okay. All right,
Karen. There's a couple reasons.
All right, but how old were you when Dad moved out?
12.
Ooh, 12.
That's pretty rough.
And he moved an hour away. And was he around for a few more years?
Yeah, I used to see him usually like every weekend until I was like 15, and then I sort of chose. I was too interested in hanging out with my friends and other people.
All right, here's the deal, Karen. A couple reasons that this happens. One is that it's sort of a normal release, sort of, just sort of a very emotional experience, and as part of that, women sometimes will cry. Mm-hmm. Secondly, there can be some abuse issues that the whole experience of being sexual can sort of evoke all these sort of near flashback or even explicitly flashback kinds of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, some women sometimes when they're in that sort of emotional connection with somebody feel not just vulnerable, but maybe like they don't love that person anymore. Like it's not matching up to what it's, suddenly you realize there's a disconnect between mm-hmm. what you're supposed to be feeling, what you're actually feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at that moment you realize this isn't really, this isn't what I wanted
to be. How long has she been with this guy?
2 or 3 years.
Karen, 2 or 3 years?
2 years.
So one of the things I wonder is whether this relationship is over and you're feeling that sort of disconnect with the sexual act.
That's possible.
Mm-mm.
So there you
just
go.
Just the idea that you were. Would entertain that notion means
yes.
It's maybe coasting to a stop because
you really feel it at
even
that
when
moment.
Even when you feel sort of halfway there, people are usually pretty defensive. Oh no, we're deeply in love.
Yeah,
but
I mean, this could be either you feel kind of gross or exploited or what, or just
that
emptiness, or just. But there are many ways you can feel about it. But when you're not in love with somebody and you're in this very very intimate moment, it just feels disconnected.
So
it's not right.
You guys have been together since you were 18.
I was 19, turning 20. He's younger. He's 2.5 years younger than me.
Yeah.
He's actually a virgin when we started dating.
Now, be that as it may, this thing may be coasting to a halt.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the details.
All right. So, Karen, maybe you're done, huh?
Possibly, I guess.
All right. Give that some thought.
Possibly. And boy, if I get but I'm like a cop who pulls a drifter in and says, "Hey, did you kill this guy?" And they go, "Maybe." That's guilty.
Yeah.
I get a possibly out of a chick for 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah.
That's
normally
a fork in that baby.
Yeah, yeah.
That baby is done.
Yeah, we're used to the very defensive, but I love him, but you don't understand,
Yeah, or the, but we've been together for 2.5 years.
Yeah. I can't imagine. He's the guy I want to marry. Yeah, I understand. It's your fantasy about this relationship, but the fact is, no.
Yeah. He was a virgin.
Whatever.
Ooh, he's going to be, uh-oh,
yeah,
he's clingy.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, he's clinging. Karen, are you there?
Yeah.
Is he a clingy guy?
Kind of. There's definitely issues in the relationship. He's not very emotionally available.
Mm.
And so, I've talked to him before and sort of been you need to work on this. It's been long enough that
you want emotion, break up with him.
Yeah. Magically he'll be in his best behavior, but that's not how he'll be.
No, he'll be clingy.
Yeah.
He'll be clingy because you're his first.
Yeah.
He's a mess. What's he do?
We're both in college.
Yeah. Where are you in school?
University of Maryland.
Yeah.
I'm going to be speaking. You and I spoke there when I was vomiting all night.
Oh, really? Terrapins, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be speaking there again in February or something.
Yeah, Drew, you still owe me for that.
Because yeah, I laid there and just moaned.
Basically, Drew had some sort of, speaking of sick. Drew had some sort of food poisoning or...
illness.
He was sick. Let me tell you this, by the way. Drew, I just got into this with a guy who works for me.
Oh! Yeah, yeah.
Oh! Yeah! Oh. Sweet ass nectar.
Sweet mother of God.
Wow. Oh. Wow, sweet smelling. Drew's wearing a button-up. He's got no shields.
Oh.
You never come in without shields.
I'm
coming
in sweatshirts
from
now on.
You and Drew.
Yeah.
Whew. Coming in here wearing the button-up shirt and not having a collar and not having the ability, the crew neck collar, not having the ability to raise the shields over the nose.
Oh.
It's like a cop going out on duty without his gun.
It's like
you're asking for trouble.
Without any equipment.
You're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble.
Yeah, I hope you can't hear me because I'm outside.
All right. Let's go. You're a doctor now. You've done much. We've worked on cadavers, for Christ's sake. You've done worse.
For Christ's sake, it's right.
Wow, pow. Out of nowhere.
You
haymaker.
You aimed that one, too.
I did. I threw that one at you.
That was bad.
I did. All right. You're right. What were we saying, Drew? Crying. Yeah, boyfriend, sex, yeah. Clingy. Oh, yeah. Drew vomiting.
Oh, yeah, Maryland, yeah.
Yeah, we drove from Philadelphia.
Oh.
Now, let's try to figure out how this went. We went to Philadelphia to do a gig.
At Penn.
At Penn.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to drive from Philly to Maryland, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was going to meet you down in the lobby of the hotel, and you were going to go down there and get some sandwiches or something.
Something was going to happen that morning.
Or maybe the driver.
The driver was going to bring the chili, the cheesesteaks. The Philly cheesesteaks.
And we got into the car, and Drew had been vomiting all morning.
All night, yeah.
All night and all morning. He was in no shape. And then sick all the way, 3-hour drive.
You guys had a 2-hour discussion about food.
We never stopped talking about food. Drew yelled at us. And then, to say the least. And then and then we did the University of Maryland, and Drew was sick as a dog.
Yeah, just laid there.
He just laid there.
Just brought me up like some sort of mannequin.
Carried the show.
Yeah.
Renee, you're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, when I masturbate, when I'm going to come, a lot of fluid sprays out of me.
Good times.
I'm wondering if that's female ejaculation, if that's real, what it's about.
That's good.
Where does that come from? Like, why do females have that?
Yeah, sometimes it's urine, sometimes it's fluid from the various glands in and around the vagina. But the fact is, what's fascinating about this is that every woman that does this has this sort of embarrassment, there's something wrong with me, and they want their partners
like
talk about it, they're ashamed of it.
My boyfriend.
You what?
I can't really come like when I'm with my boyfriend because I'm weird about it. I don't want to like spray on him.
Guys like this.
No.
It's really the beginning, they do.
Freaks me out.
Well, wait a second. Now, you know, is this during oral sex or could you do this during intercourse?
Well, I cannot come during oral sex because of the fear of it spraying on his face.
Right.
That's thank you.
And when we're having sex, I still can't really climax all the way. Like, we have to have sex, and then I'll lay next to him and masturbate so I can come.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's
all right. So this is, Drew, you always just sort of sweep this under the carpet, or you cast it aside. It's like, oh, please, guys are into this. I could understand a woman being very self-conscious about this.
Right, she wants me to do it, but it's still embarrassing, even like I feel weird about it.
All right. Well, at least you're 10 miles further down the road than you would be if he never even knew about it.
Right.
And you're worried that he's going to be freaked out.
Right.
So that's a good thing. Yeah, maybe it's going to take a glass of wine or something for you to, loosen up your inhibitions just a little bit.
But it's normal?
Yeah.
It's extra normal. It means you really function normally. Yeah,
it's normal and 15% of women.
Yeah. And it's certain, maybe 1% or 2% all the time.
Right.
10-12% some of the time can do this.
Sometimes it's like a large, like I'm talking like I put towels down when I masturbate.
Yeah, but guys like to see the product of their labor, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The evidence that they've accomplished something.
Yeah, but it's just,
you've always said they would tire eventually. That's fine. I agree with that.
But. Well, the tough part is she could have the orgasm with the oral sex, except for...
Yeah, my body holds itself back.
You could put them down there, a towel or something.
Yeah, I don't...
Can you imagine having all this whatever come spray in your face?
Yeah, well, let's look at it this way. Guys are the pioneers of the,
yes.
Hey, I'm going to finish on the chick's forehead.
And they don't seem too ashamed and likely to hold back from that.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like, it kind of freaked me out. Oh, I can't do that. Hey, Renee, take a dose of that from the guys, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, look, if he's up for it, let him give it a shot. It ain't going to kill him. Huh?
Plus, he can maneuver around a little bit. You know?
Where would it hit you? If you were giving oral sex to a woman and she had this kind of orgasm, where would it get you? same collar that won't save you from another one of my farts?
I can't believe we're having this discussion.
Well, where would it? Where would it? If well, you were if you're up top, or you should
where
be.
Where you should be. It's going to...
Because it gets down low in the mouth?
Could hit you in the mouth.
Well, it's going to get you in the mouth, but in the chin and in the mouth?
Right.
But not in the eyes.
Chest and no. It's not like a cobra.
Right. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Deadly cobra.
Or camel.
Yeah. Yeah. Animals that spit. Yeah, cobra, shoot that venom right in your eye.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Good times. Brittany.
How are you, big?
Hey.
What?
Yeah? Who was that, Brittany?
My ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-boyfriend.
Why is he on the other line?
Because...
I called her up, and then like, I'm talking to you guys all of a sudden. This is a total surprise.
Oh, okay. Oh, she... Error on freeway.
Yeah.
Well, all the question that I had...
Why? Hold on. Why are you talking to your ex-boyfriend?
Because we're friends.
You still friends?
Yeah.
Who wants to get back together?
No. It's about a...
kind of equal, you know.
They're still having sex with that.
You still having sex?
Yeah, that's why he calls, and that's why she wants to get back together. He's having sex.
Oh.
That's what that is.
I see. Brittany? All right. Brittany? on hold for 80 minutes. She got to talk on the air for 49 seconds.
Please.
You know what's funny? Drew looked at that call,
20. Hour 80, 20.
80. She's been on hold for 80 minutes, mm-hmm. but that's an hour 20. But yeah, really, you looked at about an hour and 16 minutes ago, and you said, what the hell's this call? What do I want this call for? And I said, don't worry about it, Drew. So what? Drew said, I don't want to talk to this call. And I said, well, it may be a good one. Well, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? It takes a big...
big man.
Big man to admit when he's wrong. A huge man. A mammoth man.
At least 300 pounds.
Kind of man that you'd build a shrine to.
Have you seen that show, The Biggest Loser?
Have not seen it yet.
It's actually good.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Drew. I'm shocked at that. I thought it was going to be the most exploitative abortion, but
yeah,
they actually come off at sort of teaching.
Really?
Teaching about, you know, what people should eat and shouldn't eat and how, what real exercise is about. And,
yeah.
It's all right.
All right. All right. When's that on?
I don't know.
All right. Fantastic. You ready to rock?
Yeah.
Speak to... by the way, that call, we never said what that call was. What was it, Drew?
She wanted to know if you could get tumors from cell phones. And mm-hmm. this is something that has been tossed around as a possibility for a long, long time. And there really is no evidence that anything like that actually occurs. I mean, think about it. Think how many people in the world use cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Seen an epidemic of brain tumors? Or
no.
Anybody know anybody with brain? You know, I mean, it's just,
yeah.
It's the same as it's always been, in spite of worldwide use of cell phones.
Well, so,
what are you going to do?
What about secondhand smoke, though? You don't know anybody.
First-rate killer.
You know, Drew actually died of that, but it's 55,000 people died last year in this country alone because of it.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not. Okay. Yes.
I've been thinking about the tumor thing, too, though, because something just came out from, like, Sweden or Switzerland or something.
Yeah.
Something recent came out. I wasn't really listening, but it was all over the news, like, 40
years
ago.
Look, the data comes out periodically, and the fact is that there really isn't anything. They've been studying the hell out of it.
Hold on.
Can you imagine what would happen, though, how strange and kind of cool that would be if, like, everyone that had a cell phone would start to die?
I'd like to offer a quick rebuttal. Get it rebuttal.
The butt part, yeah.
Right. Anderson, you should be in here.
Oh, my God.
Sweet. Nectar.
Yeah. Well, now I can't. Testing. There we go. I'm across the room now.
Get those shields up.
The shield is up.
Oh,
I've changed mics and chairs.
So. Pungent. Oh.
Sitting over here.
Oh, it's got a fruity, nutty,
nice
oaky flavor to it. Yeah, it's assertive without being pushy. Nice. Oh, man. Wow.
Prime form.
Thank you. I didn't even know where that came from. That's that's nice.
Unfortunately, I think I have a suspicion where it came from.
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, yeah, it's over here.
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. Yeah, Anderson, getting back to your
that's why I'm
idea
back here.
Of everybody getting a with the cell phone getting a tumor, it would be funny.
It'd be funny.
Well, I mean, it'd be bizarre because all everybody who was even close to a mover and a shaker, or anybody did anything with their lives, the whole the whole world would be inherited by just sort of like bums and the Corolla family.
Yeah, yeah.
I guarantee the Corollas would be around. I guarantee you that. Yeah. I had to tell my mom today that I saw a DVD player at Radio Shack for $39. It is now, you understand, another $20, and she'll be able to get a used one. Yeah, this close, this close. All right. Drew firing back. It's on. Oh, it's on. And I'll tell you. Everyone loses. You know why? Because this is mutually assured annihilation. You understand? Armageddon. Chris is going to be the first to go. All right, we got to take a break, Drew. We got to get out of here. And I got my shields. I got my shields here. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. Loveline, get it on. Gotta get it on. Freak out. Tell you, that fart moved nowhere.
No, it's still here.
Yeah, we walked, we were out.
We moved our asses out of the room.
We moved out. Yeah. Chris moved out.
Chris, we found him in the closet. Like, it was like
shivering.
A storage
like
room.
Definitely.
Like a deer, like an orphaned baby deer.
Yeah.
Had to coax him back into the... and. Back had to leave.
I didn't want to come back in.
Trail of popcorn was the only thing that got him back into the studio. And then we walked in, and Drew and I had the same reaction. We walked in and was like, "Ooh, yeah, nice work. Wait a minute." Drew said, "Nice work. Hold on. What's going on?"
We were greeted by something putrid.
Nothing worse than thinking you're enjoying. It's just, it's almost gay. It's like your nose went gay. You're enjoying someone else's ass, but you think it's your own, and you're like, "Wow, hey!" And then Drew's like, "Wait, that's me." And I'm like, "And then you got to get, then you start campaigning for your ass. Oh no, that's clearly my fart. Clearly, I have a signature bouquet. That's my fart. If I've ever said, look, I think I know my farts. I'm enjoying one of them now." Drew arguing for his ass. It's tough. I think it's safe to say that it's both of ours, and there's no winner in that game.
I think you got chocolate in my peanut butter.
That's right. Drew, I'm not sure if that was intentional, but it was funny. All right, let's talk to Christopher. He's 21. Christopher?
Hey.
Yeah.
I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah, mm-hmm. What's going on?
I listen to you guys a lot, so just wanted to say good job on the show. But
thanks.
I noticed that Drew always knows when someone... smokes a lot of pot by the way they laugh, and I was hoping you could tell me how you know that.
It's a very you need to be a regular user for this to happen, like a daily user, and it seems to occur probably when you've been using at least 6 months, and yes, your laugh sort of strangely disappears. It becomes,
starts off, but then goes away.
It becomes like
yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah. Okay. It's a very strange but very characteristic laugh that, strangely enough, people smoke a lot of pot.
In general,
we're never wrong about that.
You're more apt to laugh.
Right,
but
right.
It's a very strange... There's a certain quality in the voice, too, and then certain kind of slowness to the cognition.
Yeah.
It would sort of clues us in, and then you hear that laugh, and you know that's what you got.
Yeah, it's signature. It's also what happens when you spend more than, let's say, 12 hours a week in the ocean.
Surfing, yeah, I was thinking that, too.
But, then,
but they go together,
then it's if you smoke tons of weed and surf, so it's hard to tell which came first.
Oh, all right, man. Cool.
All right?
All right.
All right, guys.
Listen for it. You'll see. You'll hear it. Try it at home.
Not it.
No. I mean, when he listens.
Yeah, I know,
along
but I'm just
us.
Saying he laughed. He didn't do a good stoner laugh.
No.
No, I actually, I've been smoking every day for about like 3 years, man.
Yeah, you got the voice
you
quality.
Got the voice.
Yeah, but you don't have the laugh, so we wouldn't have picked it up on you.
The voice, here's the voice. You got to sound like a Ty Pennington from the Home Improvement show. That's the stoner voice.
It's true.
It's a perpetual teenage voice.
Yeah.
But then you got to have the laugh on top of it.
For us to identify. It doesn't mean Christopher's not smoking a lot of pot. Just
no. Don't want to take that away from him.
No, of course not.
Tina?
Yep.
21?
Yes.
What's up?
I've been with my boyfriend for about a year and a half, and I was sexually molested and raped when I was younger. And our relationship... and our relationship is really good. It's he's my third boyfriend, and he treats me really, really well. And the thing is that we're sexually active, and there's times where I just random where I feel like he's molesting me, that I feel dirty, and I feel that I'm in this really uncomfortable situation. And the thing is that I really love him, and I don't want to feel that way, you know. I was wondering,
but you're having flashbacks, Tina, and so you maybe need to deal with that a little bit. That something needs treatment.
When were you molested?
Well, I was actually molested when I was really young by my mom. We had a neighbor, and he used to babysit us. And I think I was around 5. And then I got molested again by my stepbrother and then by my cousin.
Oh, my God.
And then I got raped when I was in high school by my friend.
Yeah, we hear a lot of that.
Was that rape with your... Here's
it's always hard to tell whether it's experience.
Yeah, what happened with your friend, just out of curiosity, in high school?
Well, basically, he was having girlfriend problems, and so me being a friend, went to his house, and I went to talk to him about it, and he drank before I went over, and then he started going on about, oh, you know, if I could get a girl like you, and then he started touching me, making me feel uncomfortable, and basically, one thing led to another where I couldn't really leave because he was so much stronger than I was, and I couldn't really do anything.
Were his parents home?
No, they weren't. They were out in they were at Taiwan or something. It was just him.
They're in Taiwan?
Yeah.
So they were local?
No.
Oh, I see. And you couldn't have left?
Pardon?
You couldn't have gotten out of the house?
No, because basically what happened was that he pinned me down before I had a chance to even really react fast enough. I was telling him, no, I know, you know, and then he just pinned me down.
Did you call the cops?
I didn't, because I was just, I felt so...
I understand. It's that, you know, you got made into a victim early by your horrible family and your crappy neighbor and all that, and then you just get victimized over and over again.
Yeah. And it's really hard to know in these situations whether it's, you know, overt victimization or just experience of victimization. It's whatever it is, not good. It's not good.
Right.
And needs a lot of treatment, Tina. And now you're experiencing...
What kind of treatment would I get?
Therapy.
Get some individual therapy. Somebody who has experience treating trauma survivors. The fact is, you're having flashbacks. Finally, you found a relationship that is stable and available for intimacy, and you can't tolerate that.
And by the way, that sounds horrible, but... Tina from Riverside, your chance of being molested or raped, about 80%.
Just
being born with the name Tina.
In Riverside.
Yeah. I imagine just a translucent, albino, white trash family. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah?
No.
No?
No.
With the sexually abusive stepbrother and cousin? No?
What's going on with your family?
I'm actually Chinese.
Whoa.
Yeah, what happened was that my mom actually, she's a single parent because my dad died when I was 6 months old. And
oh, he died?
Yeah.
What happened?
He got in a really bad car accident.
Oh, hold on a second. You know, I'm a strong believer in stereotypes, especially when they're negative. And I was like, single Asian mother? Asian dads don't knock people up and hit the road. Oh, dead. Ah, okay. Now, snapped into focus. Made sense. No, not living in Florida. Bought it in the Daihatsu. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm such a crazy stereotype guy that I'm like, huh? Single Asian mom. Pow, dead. Okay. Now I'm cool. That makes sense. All right, keep going, Tina. But Riverside...
Well, actually, I only go to, my boyfriend lives in Riverside, and I'm actually from the Bay Area.
Whoa, pow, straightened out again. I'm 2 for 2. All right, and...
You have a boyfriend in Riverside. He goes to UC Riverside.
No.
He doesn't live in Riverside.
That doesn't matter. She's Asian.
His parents are Taiwan.
I'm focusing on her. I know what you're saying. But from the Bay Area, dad bought it in a car crash.
Still, yeah, it's all focused. But
now
what do you want to bet he goes to UC Riverside?
Tina.
Yes.
What's he doing in Riverside?
He goes to school at UCR.
Yeah, Drew. Asian stereotype number three in sharp relief. Fantastic. All right, so studious. Good student.
It's a good science school, see?
Wow.
He's here.
Perfect. See?
Is he studying science?
Me?
Him.
No, he's studying for psychology. He wants to be a law student.
It's science. It's good
law student. All right. All right. It's all working out. It's all working out for us. You're a mess. But for us, in terms of stereotypes, it's really working out.
Satisfaction.
Very satisfying. So, Tina, you need to get some therapy because of
the abuse
you've been through.
You're experiencing flashbacks. It's going to be difficult to have intimacy with anybody. You're going to constantly sort of separate out that part of yourself that is sexual. You're going to have trouble feeling sexual with somebody you genuinely care about. You're going to have a tendency to seek out as destructive and abusive guys in order to attach to that part of yourself that is the sexual part that you associate with being dirty and a victim. And the guy that you actually do care about and you actually are in love with, strangely enough, you're not going to be able to be sexual with him. When you are, you're going to feel dirty and sort of out of place and not right.
Right.
So you got to bring those, that has to be all integrated back into a whole. And boy, if you really care about this guy, you're getting some therapy.
Yeah, for you and for him. There you go.
There you go.
All right. Whew. Dodge a bullet there.
Satisfying.
Yeah. Alan?
Yeah.
19.
Yeah.
You like to be punched and beat up during sex?
I don't just like to be punched and beat up. I like to be choked, and it like creeps a lot of people out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This reminds me of the guy that stole the head.
Yeah, now do you like to be choked? You like being with girls or with guys?
Well, I'm not attracted to guys, but for some reason, I enjoy anal stimulation, so I go ahead and like let guys do me.
Yep, same with Drew. Yeah.
I don't like look at guys. And
Not sexually.
No, just...
Not unless you happen to see a mirror when one of them's cornholing you.
That's not a sexual act.
Though. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a violent...
It's violent.
Where you come.
He does, yeah.
Where he comes.
Yeah.
Okay, Trevor, Alan, if this is a real call, this sounds like a disaster.
Oh, it's definitely real.
I can hear it
in your voice.
You're sexual and physical abuse.
You're not attracted to guys, yet you engage in anal sex.
When you're with girls, you like them to choke you and beat the crap out of you.
Right, so... Were you beat up as a
child?
Were you beat up as a child?
No, I used to fight with my dad all the time from probably about the time I was five.
No, not fight. Your dad would beat the crap out of you. How much of a fight can a five-year-old have with an adult man?
I could have kicked my dad's ass when I was six and a half, seven.
Well, strangely, your dad wouldn't have challenged you.
Oh, no, he was too smart.
Yeah. And then when
you don't want a first grader just putting an ass whooping on you.
When did the sexual abuse start?
I can't really. There was none per se of sexual abuse. You know, it's just I don't know.
Whatever happened, that's not per se.
I know I had an overly demanding and overly bearing mother, and I do seek dominant women. I do that.
And when you say you and your dad would fight, I mean, would your dad beat on you pretty good?
Oh, he'd bust me up, man.
Yeah. This is what that creates.
Yeah.
Blood everywhere, man. My nose is just. Gush blood like crazy.
Did somebody finally arrest your dad?
No, I finally beat the crap out of him last year.
Smart.
And I thought I always wanted to, and when I did, I finally lost it and cried.
Yeah, that's good. It's kind of like a Boy Named Sue. It's like a Johnny Cash song.
Yeah.
Hey, Alan?
Yeah.
So you sound like you're a mess.
I like to be duct taped and paddled too. I neglected to mention that.
Hold on a second.
Has a bogus quality, and yet there's something creepy about it at the same time.
Yeah.
I wonder, this is one of those rare circumstances where he sort of is that guy and is effing with us.
Oh. You know? And therefore he knows that guy. He knows the character. Yes?
That, and he just wants to sort of be defiant to us.
Alan?
Yeah.
All right, we're not sure if this is bogus or not. Bad or fair share tonight. How about this?
No.
Yeah, all right, you creep me out.
How about a little therapy for the abusive past that you've lived?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Here's the thing, y'all. A couple things. You have impulses to do things that you probably know aren't healthy. Well, what's healthy? Well, what's healthy is there's a sort of societal norm.
No, don't even use words like norm.
All right, I don't like doing it, but look, here's the thing.
There's a spectrum of what most people do because that's what most humans normally do.
And let's just put it this way. Geese fly south for the winter,
that's right.
And if you're heading north,
you look into it.
Yeah. You could freeze.
And so, you're right. That is not natural for the goose.
That's right. And I'm not telling you not to go north because I don't like you.
No, enjoy. Go north. But if you do, you might freeze your ass off.
You're going to starve
for your own
and
good.
Freeze.
Yeah, for your own good.
Right.
Not that society cares about it. All the other geese flying south could give a rat's ass.
No,
the geese is a perfect example because the one flying north is going, look at all them flying south. They're going the man's way. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they don't care about me, and they're running into me trying to get in the way of my flying north. No. They're flying south. They don't give a rat's ass about you flying.
No, we don't. And by the way, the only time we do really give a rat's ass is when you start getting in our crap. Like we wake up and you're naked in our yard, or you're trying to rape our son, or you...
Stay with the goose thing. You're crapping on our lawn.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah. You're crapping
on our
pond.
You're running into us in mid-flight because we're trying to go south. You're going north.
That's right. That's when we care.
Yeah.
That's when we care. So, and by the way, guys like Alan, there's no reason why you have to be a slave to your past this way.
Mm-hmm.
Had a horrible dad, that's fine. You don't have to go out and make a life of reenactment for another 60 years and then die.
Well, let's put it this way. If you don't get help, you have to. You will. It's in your brain. It's in the wiring. It's in the circuitry of your brain. You have to if you don't get some help with it.
All right. Let's fly north to the commode.
South, please.
South. South to the commode. Yeah. We'll be right back after this. Hey, yo, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Get it on and freak out. Yeah. Woo, doggy. I know you want to take this call, Drew, but look at this call. Right. Stepdad just died. She's happy. He was abusive. Yeah.
Let's share her, celebrate her behalf.
Yeah, let's dance on his grave. Amy?
Yeah?
Stepdad is how old when he died?
I'm not quite sure. My mom had been divorced from him for a while.
Give us a guess. 60s, 70s, 50s?
No, not even. He was... late 40s.
Ooh, late 40s. What did he die of?
Well, he was an extreme alcoholic and drug addict.
Good, mm-hmm. Good times.
Yeah. They found him face down, dead, in the house that we built.
Mm-hmm. And so your mom had divorced him, and he sexually abused you?
No. It was physical, emotional, mm-hmm. mental abuse. Gun to the head at age 10.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, so
what's with your mom bringing that guy in the house?
Actually, he wasn't like that when he married her. Mm. My mom and my dad got a divorce when I was like 5. Mm-hmm. And
let me guess, because your dad was an alcoholic?
My real dad was a cheater. mm-hmm. You know, but
not a drinker though.
No, not a drinker. Actually, my real dad's really cool. We have a really good relationship going now. But, most of my life, I really didn't talk to my dad much. He wasn't in my life very much.
Yeah. Huh. Don't let him off the hook so easily either, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me, I haven't.
Good.
Trust me. I've made him work for this relationship.
Yeah, good. They're not around like 5 to 25, and then they got cosign on a Sentra.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're back.
Well, and by the way, what has changed in his life that he's suddenly so available for a relationship?
I think he just realized he's getting old and his parents died.
Police say he sobered up.
Yeah, I was going to say, it just smacks
Drew's
of an alcoholic in recovery.
For you to say sober.
Huh? Like, you guys were both talking at once.
I just said he's just smacks of an addict and alcoholic in recovery who's now available for a relationship.
Yeah, well, my real dad, yeah, I don't know what his deal is. He didn't really, I guess... didn't really care about us kids much growing up. But my stepdad, right. My mom's married to now is awesome. He's a wonderful guy.
All right, that's great. Yeah. The abusive guy's dead, good.
Fantastic.
Yes. Great. Yes. Good. And it's liberating. And let me say this. When bad people die, it's a good thing.
Well, you know...
Let me explain. If you don't think that's a good thing, let me explain something. Imagine the utopia we would be living in of all people all over the world if automatically every very bad person just died. Wouldn't be great.
Well, Adam, probably, that's your sense of a bad person. How dare you?
Poor engineer Chris would have to step over us to get out the door. But other than that, it would be a utopia. And look, I'm not talking about cheated on their taxes. Yeah. I'm just talking about
really bad.
God's version of a bad person that needs to die. Someone who's going to take someone else's life or take someone else's dignity or their childhood or what have you. I'd be fine with that, and it'd be awesome. And then, guess what? Everyone go to bed, leave your doors open tonight. Fantastic. Leave the keys in the ignition of the car. Wouldn't it be great? Hey, all that billions of dollars of junk they got at the airport and the lines, everyone waits for hours, we're gone. Pack it up, move it out. Hey, no one's going to do anything on a plane. We're fine.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah.
Imagine that. All right.
Yeah.
You ready to rock here, Drew?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I have mixed feelings about it, because I know some of the, it's such a strange thing, because...
T.S.
Well, I know, but Amy's stepdad was an addict with a bad disease.
B.F.D.
Oh, hang on a second, a lot of these victimizers were victims themselves. It's that crazy line. You wish to, here's what I wish. I wish we had a way to step in for these people's conditions before they acted out on other people. That's what I would wish. And once they do act out, then it's back in Adam's court.
T.G.I.F. Doug?
Yes, hello. Yes, Adam, you're a genius. Drew, you're a passionate. Okay.
Okay.
I have major problems with my urine stream. It goes, left and right. It used to go straight down,
Do you have a split in your stream, sort of a wiper spray?
Yeah. It's kind of web. Kind of web. Yeah.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Did he answer my question?
Yeah.
No. He said kind of web.
Wet?
Web.
I'm sorry. I thought you said, is it?
That's all right.
Is it a split stream? Split stream too? Like a forked tongue on a snake? Split?
Yeah. Lots of times it's split.
Split stream. All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Do you have any, let's get off the urine for just one second.
Okay.
do you have any other problems? Sounds like you may have some other problems.
No.
Are you on any medication?
No. Just kidding. No medication, nothing like that.
Wow, that scared me.
It did scare me, too.
Doug, what do you do for a living?
Oh, I'm a self-employed artist.
Ooh.
It's all good.
What do you work in?
What do you mean, where do I work in?
Kind of materials do you work in?
Oh, yeah. Oil paint and drawing, but mainly oil paint, yeah.
What do you do? What kind of stuff do you draw?
Well, I have my own original art, and then I have my commissions, which are, specific things that people want. And then,
sure. Dogs, and then ponies, also, stuff like that.
Dogs playing poker on felt.
On top of that, I have, graphic design on, computer and stuff.
And you're doing it. I think that was Anderson.
Yeah.
All right, so you're doing okay.
Yeah, it's all right. I mean, not as good as I want to be doing,
let me get back to the
artist. I'm always trying to get better.
Back to the urine.
Right.
Does it hurt when you pee?
No.
Do you feel an urgency to pee?
Hold on, let Anderson answer. Go ahead. Ask a few no questions, Drew. Go ahead.
Do you feel an urgency to pee?
No.
And have you ever had any prostate problems?
No.
Any sexually transmitted diseases?
No.
Doug?
Machine gun, no.
No. And have you had any new sexual partners lately?
Machine gun, no.
All right. So the split stream and the wiper spray, all that is a sign of inflammation of the urethra.
Right, I know. One of the particles that I see floating up kind of north away.
All right, hold on.
Woo.
Hold on a little. Hold on a second there, Cosmo.
We're going north.
All right, Anderson, I'm going to ask him some hypothetical questions. All right?
No.
Okay. Have you ever broken a number two pencil off in your urethra?
No.
When you urinate, do you find that one stream hits a magazine rack while the other hits a decorative soap dish?
No.
Do you have a unusually large penis? Have you ever not been with a guy?
No.
That was a trick question.
You had to think about it for a second.
Had to think about that one. Do you think the Cardinals are going to win the series?
No.
All right. Are you do you celebrate Kwanzaa?
No.
All right, Doug. Here's the deal. It could be an infection, prostate, urethral infection. You do need to see a doctor about this. Even things like urethral stones, bladder stones, prostate stones can cause this.
Yeah, you know what? The jar that I actually collected the particles in is actually the size of a mason jar.
Oh, good job. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah, awesome.
Well done.
Hey, there was a song called the by the Human Beans back in the 60s. It was No.
That's the Loveland Callers theme song.
Nobody can do the shimmy like I do. Nobody can do the shake like I do. Know that song, Chris? No, he doesn't. All right. Hey, DJ, everybody. Radio man. Take a quick break. Is that okay, Anderson?
No.
And we'll be right back after this.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's my last one.
Let's get out of here. Here we go. Wrapping it up.
Well, I got to get thanks. Here we go. Thanks for due. Yeah. Yeah, fan me, baby. That's true. Feeble attempt.
Feverishly trying to keep this cloud away from me.
Desperate.
Come on, man. Let's get out of here.
All right, let's get out of here. I want to thank everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Until next time. Corolla of Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. So you sound like you're a mess.
I like to be duct taped and paddled, too. I neglected to mention that.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.